What I'd love to do right now, in the time that we have, is to take a look at a Ramban in the Parsha, and perhaps also relate it to a Mishnah in this week's Parak in Pirkei Avos. So let me share this with you. Here's the Ramban in the Bar Ilan. The Parshas Bahar. Parshas Bahar begins, as you know, with the mitzvah of Shemitah, and then moves on to the mitzvah of Yovel. We discussed the other day the insight of the Chizkuni in last week's Sedra in Parshas Emor, and who links the 7 times 7 leading up to 50, leading up to day 50, Sfiras HaOmer leading up to Shavuos. He sees that as a miniature, annual miniature version of the full-sized 7 sets of 7 years, 7 Shemitahs, leading up to year 50, which is Yovel. And as the Psukim tell us, there are various dinim of Shemitah and even more robust dinim of Yovel. Every Shemitah, there are dinim of both Shemitahs Ksafim and Shemitahs Karkos. Every 7 years, every Shemitah, there's both the financial aspect of Shemitah and the agricultural aspect of Shemitah. The financial aspect in the sense that we pass at the end of Shemitah, debts are forgiven unless it's transferred over to a Beis Din debt via Pros Bowl. And the bulk of Hilchos Shemitah is agricultural, Shemitas Karkos. The restrictions on the sort of agricultural work that you're allowed to do, as well as the Kedusha of the Peros that grow during the Shnas HaShemitah. There'll be a little bit of wild vegetables or wild grains that will grow on their own. Most of what grows during Shemitah, obviously, are the fruits, because the trees don't need to be replanted every year, and the trees will continue to give fruits. And those peros have a special Kedushas Peros Shvias. And then the Pesukim go on to say that at the end of 7 cycles of 7 years, then you have Yovel. And Yovel, Yovel is mamish. Sounds like much of the halachas of Shemitas Karkos, plus much more. And specifically, that the Avadim Ivrim all go free b'Yovel. We know from this week's Parsha and from Parshas Mishpatim and elsewhere, some of the dinim of Avadim Ivrim, whether they choose to sell themselves or whether they are sold by Beis Din because of their inability to pay back for a theft they might have committed. The Eved Ivri is, to call him a slave is definitely a misnomer. He's an indentured servant. He is definitely obligated to work for a fixed period of time. And unlike an employee, he is incapable of quitting. He's locked in to working and to being paid for his work. And he works typically for up to 6 years. Ray learned Parshat Mishpatim. There's Yitzia B'Sheish. One of the ways in which an Eved Ivri goes free is it runs a course of 6 years, unless, as the Pesukim tell us there, he opts at the end of 6 years for an additional tour of duty. And then he undergoes the process of Ritzia. If he says, Ahavtias Adonias Ishtivas Banai, I like the situation, I want to stay here, this is a good life. So then he goes for a second tour of duty, and that goes Le'olam, which means until Yovel. So if the first 6 years run into Yovel, he's free. Or if the first 6 years do not run to Yovel, he has the opportunity to undergo Ritzia and extend his stay as an Eved Ivri up until Yovel. And Yovel crossed him, drew bars, Chol Yoshvel. Yovel comes, will cross him, draw la'aretz, Chol Yoshvel. You, as Rabbi Shechter reminds us, he grew up in Philadelphia, and as a boy, he remembers sometimes going to visit the Liberty Bell with his parents. And the Liberty Bell, which obviously dates back to the Revolutionary period, is inscribed with that pasuk from this week's Parsha. Proclaim liberty throughout the land unto all its inhabitants. Ukrasim draba arzu chol yoshvei. Yovel hi. This year is Yovel. Everyone goes free. So the Ramban wants to know, what exactly does that mean? Yovel hi. This year is Yovel. We take it for granted that we know what Yovel means. And as a matter of fact, Yovel's words made its way into English. And how do you say Yovel in English? Well, since a yud always becomes a J, exactly, it's a jubilee year, right? And that, and what does jubilee mean? Well, jubilee usually means the 50-year celebration, right? But what does Yovel mean? Shnas hachamishim shana. Is that what Yovel means? Well, probably not. So the Ramban, here, take a look at the Ramban. Yovel hi. Shana zu nivdelas mishar hashanim benekivas shem levada. This year is different than other years by the Nekiva Shem, in the name that it's given. Umashma, Yovel Shema. What's it called? It's called Yovel. Al Shem Tkiya Shofar, Lashon Rashi. So Rabban begins by saying, quoting from Rashi, that Yovel really means the shofar. You find that elsewhere, V'chein Dasa Mefarshim. Other mefarshim take that approach as well. Milashin bekeren hayovel, shofros hayovelim. Quotes multiple psukim in Sefer Yehoshua. That yovel is a shofar, and it what was that language in Rashi? It's nivdelas b'nekiva shem levada. It's differentiated mere from other years merely by its name. The name is shofar, meaning it's not really the year of the shofar. We just want to give it, Torah wants to give it, and he wants to name it as a distinct year. So the name the Torah chose is Shofar, because after all, there is a din d'oraisa, so you're supposed to blow Shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. Those who have learned Mishnayos Rosh Hashanah will remember that the Mishnayos in the third parak talk about the Tekiah on Rosh Hashanah versus the Tekiah on Yovel, on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. It's a din d'oraisa. We have a minhag. Klai Yisrael has developed a minhag to blow shofar at the end of every single Yom HaKippurim. Perhaps one of the reasons given is that it's a zecher to the Tekiah Shofar Shal Yovel. But that's not a halachic requirement. Tekiah Shofar at the end of every Yom Kippur. But Tekiah Shofar on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel, once every 49, 50 years, that's a real din d'oraisa. It's certainly, everyone agrees, that's a din daraisa of the tkiyas on Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. Rashi and some other Rishonim are suggesting that's also what the very word Yovel means. Ve'enu mechuverli, Rabban says, this is not clear to me, I don't agree. Bavur tia lachem. Because of the language, It should be a yovel for you. Rashi himself had said that that it's merely nekiva shem. It's not really, doesn't describe the essence of yovel. And I just, the Torah wanted to give a name to differentiate this year from other years, so we named it yovel. We named it shofar. And Rabban says, yeah, but the language of the pasuk is it should be a yovel for you. Tiyelachem matam sheyomer b'shana tekiyahi tiyelachem v'shavtem. What does that mean? This should be a year of shofar. So Ramban says, well, maybe. Ula yomer akasav yovel hi. It tries to patch up Rashi. Maybe means, well, the year is called yovel. Nekuva b'shem hazeh shekarasi. It's named yovel. And the tia lachem doesn't mean it should be a yovel for you, as though yovel is a thing. But that through the tkiya shofar, you should know that this is that year. This is that year when Lo Sizroa v'lo Siktzaru, and the year of Durar, and the year of the Isur, the limitations on Melechas HaKarka, and the Dinam of Durar. He says, I don't like this. Why does Ramban not like it? Says, number one, he's already indicated it's a little bit dachuk. It sounds like the Torah is saying that this year should be a Yovel for you. As a Yovel isn't just the nickname for the year, but it's a thing. This year should be a certain type of thing. Make sure this year is a yovel. And moreover, he goes on to say that yovel, shofar sayovelim, yovel, Ramban goes on to say, doesn't mean the horn. Shofar is a horn. Shofar sayovelim means karne ha'elim. Yovel is really a reference to a type of animal. It's a ram. Shofar HaYovel is a ram's horn, but Yovel itself means ram. And he goes on to say, quotes the Targum, he quotes the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. My mashma da hayuvlo lishna de dichru. She came by Rafi karla dichra yuvla. He points out when the Gemara, the third parak, near the beginning of the third parak, is handling to figure out what sorts of horns are acceptable for shofar. So the Gemara there says that the yovel is meloshin dichra. It's an aisle. It's a ram. And he says, no, that's many steps removed. What we call the year ram, because you blow a ram's horn. Okay, if you want to call it the shofar, but to call it the ram. Now, what does this mean? And moreover, he says, if you look in Rosh Hashanah, we prefer the ram's horn, the shofar of a yovel, for Rosh Hashanah. But shofar of Yom Kippur, me'em yuchad liyosameh ha'ayol. Call shofar's ksherim bo. You don't need a ram's horn on Yom Kippur shal yovel. And he points out, Vaita Mishtanam in Rosh Hashanah say, it would be better to use a ya'el, which might be an ibex, as opposed to a ram. So Rabban says, the approach of Rashi is very, very difficult. It's hard to say that it's merely a nickname. It sounds like we're saying the year really is Yovel, not just that the year is called Shofar. And anyways, as he said, Yovel doesn't mean Shofar. Yovel means ram. So what does the word Yovel mean here? So he says, based on Rabbeinu Avraham, the Ibn Ezra, he says one meaning of Yovel is ram, and that's what it means elsewhere. This is a bit old, but here Pshurusha Mikra, it has to do with freedom. It's a year of freedom. Lefidaiti, he said, based on Rabbeinu Avraham, the Ibn Ezra. The Torah is not referring to blowing shofar. We're saying this is a year of drawer. It's a year of freedom. Originally said, the Torah first spoke about blowing the shofar and used the word shofar. But here we say, the pasuk we mentioned before, proclaim liberty unto the land, throughout the land, unto all its inhabitants. Across the Drabar Azchol Yashvel. Kulam b'nei chorin ladur b'chol makam shiirtzu. That everyone has the freedom to go back to live where they want. You were in Eved Ivri for X number of years, and you were obligated to remain in your master's home and live and work there, to domicile and work there. And moreover, Yovel is also the year when the fields returned to their original owner. That's a din daraisa, that during the times in Jewish history when Yovel only applies, Gemara Nerachim tells us, during a time when you have the majority of the Jewish population live in Eretz Yisrael. That has not been that way since the middle of the Bais Rishon period. But during the time of Yovel, when you sell real estate in Eretz Yisrael, specifically agricultural real estate, fields outside of the cities, no sale is forever. I could sell you a field that's only up until Yovel. So much so that Pesukim go on and tells this week's Parsha, if I sell you a field, it's more or less a rental. It's being sold for X number of years, so you have to make sure to charge properly based on the number of years left to Yovel. It has to be proportional. That's why this week's Parsha is the original context for not cheating. Lo sonu isha samiso. Not to overcharge, not to underpay. That comes up in the Chumash in the context of Yovel. I can't charge you the same for the piece of land when it's 30 years to Yovel and when it's 20 years to Yovel, because you only have the field up until Yovel. So when Yovel comes, the fields go back to their original owner. They go back to where they got to through the Yerushalayim. So as he says, both dinim come together to allow everyone the freedom to live where they want to. It's a yovel. What do you mean it's a yovel? Sheba yuval. That's the on that word yovel. It's not yovel. The nikud is yuval kol ish el achuza sovel mishpachto. Yoviluhu raglav meirachok lagur. A person will be brought back to his ancestral land and back to his family. His feet will transport him. Yesterday, some of you guys had your ulpan. Final. Hovalot. Hovalot is transport, freight transport, trucking. Because lahovil is to transport something. V'nishtamshu b'loshen hazeh b'inyanim rabim. He says, you find it throughout the Tanakh, Yuval Shai Lashem Tzvakos. They will, a present will be brought, Yuval, will be brought, a present will be brought to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He goes on to quote more examples, flowing water, Yivle Mayim, Hama'amakim Shesham Yuvalu Hamayim. The water comes, is brought back to those depths, those springs from where the water flows again. And a pasuk in the second sedra of this week, V'nasna ha'aretz yivula. In the brachas, the beginning of Parshas Bechukosai, before the Tochacha, V'nasna ha'aretz yivula, the land will give forth its produce. Yivul is what it gives forth, what it gives out. What's supposed to emerge from the land are the fruits and vegetables, the grain, the yivul. He points out it's true in Aramaic as well. Ovil Befria quotes a Targum later in Chumash Bamidbar. So he says, Yovel hi tiyo lachem, when the Pasuk says this year is a year of Yovel. Again, number one, he didn't like, the second reason he didn't like Rashi's shot before was because Yovel doesn't mean, in that sense, doesn't mean shofar, it means an aisle. We're definitely not calling the year the ram's year. This is not Chinese, not the year of the ram. And moreover, as Ramban had opened before, it's not just a nickname. It sounds so much like this year should be a Yovel. What's that thing called a Yovel? He says, now I understand. V'yiyeh perish Yovel hi tiyeh lachem. It's a Yovel. It should be for you a Yovel. Hava'ahi. V'siyeh kein lekulchem. It's a year of bringing. It's a year of transportation. Or maybe it's a year of arrival. It should be a year of shifting for everyone. Everyone's going to come back to reconnect with their ancestral land. Chazaras sados biyovel, and everyone's going to reconnect with their family through the shichrur of the avodim ivrim biyovel. Then he goes on to suggest that on derech emes. The Al Pi Kabbalah, it's Yovel has to do with coming back, not just transporting, but coming back to the roots. Yeshuva Yovel Shasham Sharashav, to return to one's roots. And Judith Rabbi Shachter is fond of quoting the Ramban elsewhere that the word Geula, which appears multiple times in Parshas Bahar. There's the, as we mentioned, the geula of the sada, when a fellow sells property, he has not only is there automatic chazara b'yovel, but the pesukim tells us in Parsha there are buyback privileges. If you sell agricultural land, you sell sados, you have the right after 2 years to buy back at a reduced rate, prorated, proportional to how many years are left. If you sell a house in a city, you have the right to buy back within the first year, and there's a right to buy back the freedom of a relative who was sold into avdus. They're all called geula. So what does geula mean? Redemption. So this is something we already touched on in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, that geula means a return, as Ramban says there, beginning of Shmos, it's a return to the original state. It's a return to the ideal state. That's what geula means. The ideal state of Eretz Yisrael is that's in the belongs to a member of the shevet where it's located. So the chazara of the geula of a field is to return it back to the family. The geula of a person is to return back to freedom. And Ramban is saying here, Yovel means to be transported. To have a change of status, to move forward, but to return, as he ends, to return back to the original state. That's the essence of Yovel. Definitely definitely something on our mind, returning back to the original state, returning back to the ideal state. It's wonderful that we get to have Shir in the great outdoors here. But at the same time, we would love to return to the original state of having shir in yeshiva. Maybe let's close this by taking that idea of the more fully appreciating the original state with a Mishnah from this week's Parak. So a deeper sense of the original state. This week's Parak Hamishi is a Parak of numbers. The first four Prakim of Avos went through statements of different Tanaim, and every Mishnah opens with, Hillel says, Shammai says, Rabbi Yaakov says, Yochum ben Broka says, and those first four Prakim are all Divrei Musar, for how people can grow themselves. The fifth parak is not organized by name, it's organized by number. A whole series of ideas are tens, and then sevens, and then fours, and then threes, and then twos. Pairs, opposing pairs of ideas. And then finally, the very end, is the Mishnah of the different ages by number. Ben Chamash L'Mikra, Ben Esl Mishnah, and so forth. And some of the Farshim point out that, especially in the tens, it's not only a question of a change of format that's no longer by name but by number, but the content is different because it's not the content is no longer divrei musar about how we can change as much as an appreciation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The tens tend to all be, Raya Levine points out, the tens are all about Ribbono Shel Olam. But here's one Mishnah which is a blend of the two. Perek Hey Mishnah Gimel, Asar Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu withstood 10 Nisyonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed 10 different Nisyonos on Avram Avinu. Omer Bekulam, and he withstood all of them. He succeeded all 10. Lohodia Kamechi Basos Avram Avinu Avasham. To tell us how great is the love of Avram Avinu. Beautiful. And the major topic, which we're not going to get into right now, but I would encourage you to take a peek between now and Shabbos afternoon, is which are the 10 Nisyonos, and different Rishonim, different Mefarshim on the Mishnayos have different lists, because there are more than 10 episodes that we know of in the life of, impressive episodes in the life of Avraham Avinu. So that's an interesting question, not for now. I would suggest you take some time to look into that, look at the Mefarshim on this Mishnah. What were the 10 Nisyonos? What I want to look at is Reb Chaim Volozhin in his Parish on Avos. See, he points out that the previous Mishnah also mentioned Avram. So there were 10 doors from Noach to Avram, but there it was merely Avram. And here, it's Avram Avinu. Why is it that in the previous Mishnah he wasn't Avinu, and now he is? So Reb Chaim Volozhin says, a gevaldik avart. Reb Chaim Volozhin says that in the previous Mishnah, he was a person whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu was acting upon. It's important to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so patient, he allowed things to go, he allowed so much slack all the way until Avram. But here the point is not just that Avram, the person, underwent Nisyonos. Here the point is that his Nisyonos were Avinu. And the Chaim Volozhin goes on to say there are so many features, there's so many qualities of Klal Yisrael that were impacted and by Avram's life. That the Akedah forever gave Klal Yisrael the capacity to have enormous, enormous capacity for Mesiras Nefesh. The fact that he had to struggle to make it to Eretz Yisrael, Chaim Volozhin says that gave Klal Yisrael forever after in our spiritual makeup the desire, the chibas aretz, the connection to Eretz Yisrael. So the nisyonos of Avram are of Avram Avinu, not just of him, the person, but he was that's Avram as the grandfather of all of us, because those nisyonos, HaKadosh Baruch gave Avinu those episodes, those opportunities to be challenged, to grow, and to shape the spiritual dynamic, the spiritual matrix of Klal Yisrael forever after. So when we talk about going back to the original state, it's not only geography. It's not only where we are. It's also understanding who we are. And that's one of the key messages of the opening of this week's parak, is to appreciate where we come from spiritually, and that's a sense of who we are, and to achieve Geula, to plug into Yovel, would be to more fully plug into the Milas Ha'avos, the Midos of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, which define the boundless potential of Klal Yisrael.